Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, April the 6th, 2014.
Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin tonight singing the song, I'm Saved, I'm Saved. I found a friend who is all to me, his love is ever true.
I found a friend who is all to me, his love is ever true. I love to tell how he lived in me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved.
Strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh, you may be seated.
I'll ask Dan Bourne if he would come and share with us.
A good coconut cream pie with a meringue up pie is the best. But I tell you, I enjoyed Sunday school this morning. It was great. You know, I don't say nothing, but I like listening to the different things that people said this morning. It was great. And that kind of goes along with this song because if I remember the name of it. But anyway, you know, we have a Savior that is just awesome, and all these things that people talked about this morning kind of funnels into the whole church family, you know, and it just kind of blends in with everything. This song, I said to Chuck after Sunday school, I said, I don't know what song to sing tonight. I got three different songs, and I told him what songs. He says, well, I want you to sing. I said, I'm leaning toward Oh, What a Savior. He said, I was just going to say that one there. So listen to this song. The Cathedral, they've made this song popular way back. So it's an older song, but I tell you what, I never get tired of listening to it. I never get tired of practicing and singing it. So listen to Oh, What a Savior. Life's blood for even me. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. Then they searched through heaven and they found a Savior to save a poor lost soul just like me. Calvary, his hands, they were nail-scarred, his side, it was driven, he gave his life's blood for even death's chilling waters. Oh, I'll soon be crossing, and his hands will lead me safely on. Well, then I'll join that call. Up there forever and evermore. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary, and his hands were nail scarred. His side, it was driven. He gave his life's blood for you and me. Oh, what a Savior.
Thank you, Dan. I don't know of anybody that loves Southern Gospel more than Dan Borma. In fact, I was just talking about you this past week. We went up to the middle school choir, went up to sing at Dollywood. Well, actually, they sang in Knoxville, and then they went to Dollywood for their end-of-the-year trip. But we went and saw the Kingdom Heirs a couple of times. And so Dan Borman's name came up because they're having the Southern Gospel Conference up in Pigeon Forge this year, I think. Did you know that? I knew you knew that. Let's sing a few more songs together before the Pattons come tonight, and we'll take the offering toward the end of the service. I have a maker, and he formed my heart. He knows my name.
I have a maker. He formed my heart.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be
Thank you. Please be seated.
Oh, good. I thought maybe we would do a duet. Just something to think about. Now that we're done thinking about it, Bob and Becky Patton have had a long tie with Grace Baptist Church, probably 15, 20 years or better. And we're actually came here to go to school and ultimately ended up going to Piedmont and graduating from there and settling in that area before they went to the field. And so I think you still have kids in that general vicinity. But they're coming back to kind of give us a complete perspective on some of the things they've been doing. They were with us in the missions conference, and we're glad to have them back. Please come.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be back and just share with you all again. And pleasure to see each of you all again. What the Lord is doing and what he has done. You mentioned our children have settled in the area. Well, our son has. He's in Winston-Salem. He's married. We don't have any grandchildren. Two cats and a Doberman. That's about all. So, but our daughter is in the U.S. Navy, and she's in Djibouti, Africa right now, which is northern Africa, not a very friendly place to Americans at this point. And so we would ask your prayers for her. You know, as we go into this tonight, there's a short film. It's a prayer that was put together for Chile. And I'd like to share with that with y'all first with that. It gives you an idea and a perspective of just some of the difficulties and some of the beauty of the country that we serve in.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my country of Chile. I thank you for I know you look upon the people of Chile with eyes of love, compassion, and grace. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful and diverse creation found in this nation, which reflects your beauty and goodness and shouts your praises. God, I pray that the people of Chile would look around them and see your glory. May we sense your majesty in the Andes Mountains every day. May we experience your faithfulness like the constant waves of the sea along our coasts. And may we hunger for your truth like the dry Atacama Desert longs for rain. Father, we recognize that you have blessed us so much and we thank you. We praise you for the dynamic Chilean churches we see today all throughout our land. Thank you, God, for the missionaries you have sent from other countries to share the love of Christ with us, and for the Chilean leaders you have raised to shepherd your growing church. Lord, continue to build up your church and speak your word of truth. May your word go up to the most northern desert and down to the smallest fishing village and never return empty. There is much need for your reign of love and justice. We are plagued with broken marriages and high divorce rates. Restore our relationships. With our economic growth has also come unchecked consumerism and high economic inequality. Father, mobilize your church to be generous and to seek justice. May Christians all throughout Chile open their eyes to the needs around us. May your Holy Spirit guide the way we spend our time, money, and energy. Among the youth of our nation, there is great spiritual apathy and a high rate of depression. Almighty God, we pray against the spiritual darkness that fights to control the youth of our nation. We pray against the drugs, violence, and gangs that seem to control the youth of our cities. O Father of hope and truth, show our young men and women your tenderness and care for each of them. May the bright joy of forgiveness and love shine through the eyes of your children, so that those who don't know you may hunger to know you, the one true God of light. Father, we pray for the leaders and government officials. We know that many nations around us in South America look to us as a role model. We pray that our leaders may be men and women who seek the welfare of everyone in our nation, including the Mapuche people, who have been oppressed and treated unfairly for so many years. Give our leaders wisdom to manage our prosperity with good stewardship, and may we set an example of a nation that seeks your kingdom values. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. We know you are at work in our country and Chile. We hold on to this truth and promise. Give us expectant hearts and servant hands to love one another as you love us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and coming King. Amen.
There's a lot in that prayer. Our country also needs prayer. But I'd like to begin. Let's see, there was a. Yeah, okay. With a PowerPoint of kind of what the Lord has done this last term and what we expect to do in this coming term. What God wants us to see and strive for, and our prayer for the country of Chile. And so, if we can start that. Our theme verse has been in this past term and this term coming up, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy 2:2. When you consider the ministry and what God has been doing, it's we were 13 years in the one church in downtown Santiago. And right in the center of the city. And we worked the deaf ministry, and many deaf came to know the Lord. The Chilean pastor that took over that work worked with us for 11 years. And so it was time for us to move on to a new phase. Well, moving on is very difficult. Changing ministries can be difficult. But we've seen God really bless and bless the work that he's done. We started training people for deaf ministry in that small area down in the southern part of the city where the Blue Star is on your right, with a small church down there. And area called El Bosque. That little square is 5.4 square miles with 190,000 people in it. Santiago is a very densely populated city. Now, we also worked and trained in another church in the La Florida area. That's the area to your left, the star up above, right in that area. And we helped establish another, helped and guided some of the work in the star just below it. So that's three works God has allowed us to be involved in this last term. Well, this coming term, we pray that the Lord, and we've already talked to the pastors in several of these areas, and they desire that we come and help them train their people for deaf ministries in the Las Condes area, the Recoleta area, the Maipú area, and the Puente Alta area. The Maipú and Puente Alta areas have about 500,000 people each. The Las Condes, 250,000, and Recoleta, about another 200,000 in that area. And there's churches there that are thriving and desire for us to come and start training in deaf ministries. Well, the first group we trained was in the El Bosque Church, and this is the group of people that God brought in our path. This lady is the pastor's wife, and we have several others in there that are trained. They're doing the work now in El Bosque, and we praise the Lord for them. Francisco of that group is a young man that was saved about 5 years ago. When he first came to church, he had that gothic look, black spiked hair, big, huge earrings, very sad, and he was seeking. Well, God saved him, and shortly after that, the hair was cut, the earring was gone, and he went through a full year's discipleship and was soaking in the Word. And he has a heart for the deaf. He knew some sign language, had taken a class before. He took our classes on deaf work and deaf ministry and sign language, and he is a natural in signing. And so he's emerged as the leader of that deaf ministry in El Bosque. The second group was in La Florida. And this group was started by, we were invited to the church by this gal in the center. And we talked to the pastor, and he was all for it. We began classes. We had a large group at the beginning, and we boiled it down to about 6 or 8 people. And they're faithful. Now, once the classes were all finished and we were leaving, Valeria started a sign language class in deaf culture in Sunday school, and she's been training 12 others. So praise the Lord, there's 18 people in that church that are interested in the deaf ministry. Now, they also have a deaf fella, Diego. Now, Diego at the age of 7 had spinal meningitis and lost his hearing through it. He was very depressed, and God reached down and saved him. He's a very energetic deaf young man. He does marathons and teaches children how to swim, deaf children how to swim, and he's very active, and we're praying that God would raise him up as a deaf leader in a deaf church in that area. And Becky also had the privilege of teaching a class at the Bible College. We pray that we'll be able to continue teaching classes of sign language at the Bible College. And these four young ladies have gone back to their churches and have been starting working in their church. This is our pastor and his wife, Naldi, and his family. And we praise the Lord for them. They came alongside us, and we've came alongside them. And the church that when we started, was small, about 60 people. But God has blessed that work through personal discipleship and building the church. And as time went on, it went from 60 in about three and a half years, it's up to 225. And that also has other implications. But the Lord privileged us to have groups in our home. Becky started a group for single ladies that were either divorced or widowed or just single a long time, and these ladies have enjoyed and have grown in the Lord. And they didn't fit in the married group. They didn't fit in the young people's group. They didn't have a place to go, and so we opened our home to them each Sunday. But we've also opened our home to the teens, and we enjoy the young people of the El Bosque Church, and they are a true blessing. And also the deaf. Our door is always open, and the deaf come any time of day or night when they have a problem. They'll ring our bell, or we'll hear a screeching out at the sidewalk, and we know that we have a deaf visitor, and they're always welcome. Now, this is where the church started in El Bosque. It's a small rented home. They tore out the walls. This area is about the size of a 40-foot container, 39-foot long and 10.5-foot wide. When it got to be about 70, 75 people, it was getting a little bit crowded in there. We built a room off the side. Another 25 or 30 people were in there. And then finally, we took the front yard completely, built a tent, and now the church is running 200, 225. And the church also, through that experience and through a couple that was coming to the matrimonios, the married people's class, our tent was good for 9 months, because 9 months out of the year, we have no rain. Well, wintertime came in June, and it started raining, and the top started gathering water, like little pools. We could have had baptisms up there. When they started pushing it out, it split the material. And this man owns a camp where we have baptisms, but he also owns a business putting up tents for events and that kind of stuff. Well, he saw our predicament and said, "Don't worry, Pastor, I'll send a couple of men." He came with his truck and the material and a crew. They got on to that, and in about 3 hours, they had it covered, top, sides, corners, everything was all done, and it didn't leak. So praise the Lord. If you're going to build a tent, get a real tent maker. But this little church down about an hour and a half outside the city is a new church plant. The building was formerly a church that had a very tragic situation. They closed their doors, and this man that has the tent business rented this building and asked us if we would go down and start a church down there about an hour and a half outside the city. Excuse me. And a town of about 12,000 people. So the pastor and we all went down. So there we have a building that'll hold about 300 people and is starting out at about 60. In Santiago, we have 250 people and not much of a building. So pray for our endeavor up in Santiago to get a building, and pray for this little church in San Francisco de Montanao, that God would raise that church up for his glory. And as we go back, we pray we'll have opportunities to minister in that church also. Well, the sign language book had been in development for a number of years. With the help of John Peterson, started us on the sign language book because there was not any sign language book in Chile. And we worked through it. I translated it from Portuguese into Spanish, sent him the signs on video. He had a Brazilian draw it all out. The little Brazilian fellow brought it to Chile. We put it in the computer and produced a sign language book of some 680 signs for Chile. And it has come in, it's a vital part of our ministry in teaching the churches sign language, Chilean sign language, but also deaf like Marcos, who lives about an hour and a half outside of Santiago, very little education. When we first met him, he just basically screamed out, and we knew it was Marcos. He parked cars around a small town, San Jose de Maipo, and we go up there on occasion. And each time we see him, we try to witness to him. Well, we gave him a sign language book several years ago, and Marcos has been studying the sign language book, and each time we go, he knows more, we can communicate more with him. And so we pray through that communication, we can be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. But also, Carmen, who lives way out in the country in Lonkey Mai. We went down to a church there with our singing group from the El Bosque Church, and they brought Carmen up front to the church for Becky to sign, interpret the service. Well, Carmen didn't know any sign language, had no language. She's married to a hearing man, has two hearing children who were frustrated because they couldn't communicate with her mother and wife. And so last trip we took down there, we brought her a sign language book, drove out in the country, found her little home, and they welcomed us in. And we are praying that we'll have an opportunity to follow up on that contact in Lonkey Mai. Also in Lonkey Mai, there's a special school for handicapped children. And in that school were two deaf boys that were getting training for life skills, but no language training, no sign language. And they also needed hearing aids. And God provided those through another missionary that was leaving the field. And we went down. We knew their situation. They had been working with the government for 2 years. They have programs, but as it works with most government-type things, they did all the paperwork. They went back and forth to another city. It was about an hour and a half away. And they went back to get their hearing aids or the next step, and they said, oh, we lost your paperwork. You're going to have to start all over again. Next time they went back, they said, oh, your paperwork's too old. You're going to have to start over again. Well, God provided the hearing aids, and we had an opportunity to go down and put hearing aids on these two boys. And an open door to that school in Lonkey Mai, we gave the teachers sign language books and a sign language dictionary that the government had produced. And God has given us an open door of witness in Lonkey Mai. And this is the other students of that school. Now, the sad part about all throughout Chile is the Jehovah's Witness are aggressive to the deaf, and they produce all this material on DVDs and other things. And Isabel learned her sign language from a Jehovah's Witness, but knew that that wasn't the truth. And she started going to her neighbor. They started a church down in Santa Julio, where she lives, and she started going to there. And we have had some influence in Isabel's life. But we want to, this coming term, produce materials through the Story of Hope, which Wayne Hastings produced with ABWE, and be able to get the truth of God's word into the hands of those that are in darkness and have a lie from others. And so there's the flag of Chile, and there was the country of Chile. Santiago's in the center. There are deaf going north of Santiago into the desert and south of Santiago that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire is, as we train these churches in Santiago, that many of them will now take the gospel to those that have not heard throughout Chile. Our needs to return to the field, we need your prayers. Strengthen the Lord, and also our monthly support. We praise the Lord that we have gained $300 a month support, but we're still about $800 short. And so pray that God will provide for those needs. At this time, we have a song that Becky will sign, and I'll let her explain.
And I guess one way of describing it. Oops, I'm
sure that's okay.
Now, is that better? Can you? Okay. God shows in many ways that he loves and cares about the deaf. And one of the ways that he shows is by giving them a beautiful language in the sign language. And you could, I guess, one way of describing a song is that it's poetry set to music. Well, when you have a song in sign language, what it is visual poetry. And we're not, I'm not just signing the words of the song. I'm taking the message of the song and putting it into the visual poetry. And I hope you will see a little bit, like, for example, the sign for ran is this. But I'm actually doing the motion of the running. And I love this song because it talks about our need to take the light that God has given us and run to the darkness.
Whose hearts are blazing.
When we think of going and lighting your world, we think of Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And often with the deaf, many times they'll say, why am I deaf? Or why am I blind? And in Exodus chapter 4, we find that verse 11, when God was talking to Moses, and Moses was coming up with all sorts of excuses not to go. I don't know, sometimes I think we argue with God at the same time, in much the same way. And God kind of put Moses in his place, in a sense, and in chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made God, man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Why do we have deaf? Why do we have blind? God made them for a reason. But he also wants us to go to him and reach him. To the deaf, to the blind, to those that cannot, you know, the old King James is not politically correct here. There was recently a to-do about that, but the dumb, or they cannot speak. But the deaf do have a voice. But God still wants us to go to him. And so in Mark chapter 7, we'll just take a few minutes and look at Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 32. We find a passage of Scripture where Jesus ministers to a deaf man, and it's always an encouragement to us. In Mark chapter 7, verse 32, it reads, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening together. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to go out and reach those that cannot hear. We pray, Lord, a blessing upon this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I think of this passage often, and knowing the deaf, and how they react in different situations. For one thing, they don't like crowds or multitudes. They're very fearful of their surroundings. And here we find that three men had taken him to Jesus. Or we don't know if it's three or four. All we know is it's they brought him unto Jesus. And I can imagine the fear that this deaf man had. Here, he probably had no idea where he was going. Sort of like Carmen, when they brought her down to the front of the church, And when Becky looked at her, she had this fear in her eyes because she had no idea what was going on. And I can imagine this deaf man also had fear in him. And yet, we see that Jesus took him aside from the multitude. He worked with him alone, away from the crowd. And many times working with the deaf, when there's something we have to deal with, we always take them aside. We never in front of everybody discipline them or whatever. You always take them aside. And here Jesus took him aside, and Jesus put his finger into his ear, and he spit and touched his tongue. And the universal sign for deafness is this. And when you go to airport or anywhere and you're looking for a deaf that you're supposed to pick up and you don't know who they are, all you do is you stand off in an area and all you do is go like this. And they'll come to you. And we used to do that in Puerto Rico. And so here Jesus took this man aside. And often we wonder, why did he spit? Well, saliva has a healing property to it. You take a dog that has a wound, what does he do? He licks it and helps it heal. And so we see he did this. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. Yes, I know your situation. I know your problem. And he said, be opened. Straightway his ears were opened. Now, just the fact that he could hear is one aspect of this miracle that God did to this deaf man. But the string of his tongue was loosed. If this deaf man was deaf from birth, he had no language. He had no words. You learn ever since you're little or ever before you're born, your mother and father are speaking to you. And then every day afterwards, you're talking to them, and then they start forming words. And by the time they're five, they have quite a vocabulary. But here's this deaf man. We don't know how old he was. But his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Jesus gave him a language. Many of the deaf that we know of outside of Santiago have no language. They have no sign language. They have no voice. I mean, they have a voice, but they have no words. They've never heard. And I often think of this miracle that God did. And as they published it, and everybody around them was astonished beyond measure, for he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And our Jesus is still saving those that cannot hear. And it's a miracle. And we praise God for it. And we just thank him for the way he works. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate so much your coming and sharing with us and all. How many deaf people do you think are in the greater area there of Chile?
Well, in Santiago, you figure about 60,000. With a population of 6 million, 7 million people, there would be at least 60,000. And that's probably a low estimate because of they had a string of meningitis that affected many people, and also all the deaf that came to school came to Santiago and intermarried, and they stayed in the Santiago area. And so we find a lot of deaf, even deaf families, whole deaf families, that the whole family is deaf. And I think that added to the number of deaf.
Wow.
in Chile.
Okay, well, that's a big ministry. How many people are actually doing deaf ministry that you know about in that general vicinity?
Well, there's the works we have started and the work downtown. And the Jehovah's Witness, unfortunately, they really push. But as far as solid Baptist Bible teaching ministries, only a handful.
Only a handful. Wow. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Well, we'd like to take a good offering for Bob and Becky to help them as they go back. And I know that afterwards, if you had an interest in being involved with their ministry and getting updates and so forth, they'd be glad to do that. So we'll ask the men to come. And whatever is not otherwise designated is going to go to the Pattons tonight, okay? So, Father, thank you for Bob and for Becky and the work to which you've called them, and they've been faithful to, Father. We pray that these needs that they have of another $800, Father, monthly support, that you'll see fit to bring that in for them, Father, and that you'll meet all of their needs. Thank you, Father, for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just a couple things to kind of alert you to. The staff and one or two others, I think Gary Googe and Bill Fortner and Scott Staub, were all taken off Tuesday morning, and we're going to kind of a pastor's conference up in the Louisville area. And it's called T4G, Together for the Gospel. And so there's going to be just a lot of great preaching. I think David Platt's supposed to be there, among others, and so we're looking forward to that at that time. And I think that I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that that Secret Church signing up for that, I think they're looking for folks. It looks like he's going to have a great topic this time. I think it's going to be very interesting, and would encourage you to do that. And Bob and Becky have a book out underneath the missionary map, and if you'd like to get prayer letters and stuff from them, then you could go ahead and take a look at that. And I should tell you that we continue to pray for Susan and her baby, and the high hopes are that she'll be able to bring the twins back to Chattanooga on probably this week sometime. They have to do some kind of a special test to find out if the baby can be transported and so forth. And, of course, Wayne Harper and Carol Hurlbut and, of course, Ann Sturmer. So that's what I got. Anyway, have a great week. And as we're looking forward towards Easter, let me just remind you that these are times when you'll have an opportunity to talk about the Lord that you won't have hardly any other time during the year. Christmas and Easter are two wonderful times. So keep your eyes open, take some tracks, and let's do our best for the Lord, okay? Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.